exciting edition of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I'm your host, Burl Love, editor of the Cincinnati Enquirer. With me today, back, is Casey Sloan, guest hosting, along with, this is your big debut.
Yes, I'm excited. Ooh. It's about time.
It is about time. David Weissong, our trending news editor, our TikTok star, probably our premier in-house content creator, wouldn't you say, humbly?
I mean,
I would give him that.
If I want to have a big head, sure. But.
So we have David in studio today because we're going to talk about something that he has organized. This is the second year for the Enquirer to put together the list of Cincinnati's top content creators and our special guest. Would you like to introduce our special guest today?
Yeah, our special guest is Cincy Scoop. They were 2025 winners in the top eight. If you don't know our process, we get together a top 50 and then narrow it down to a top eight. So they were one of the top eight winners. They focus on all things positive about Cincinnati. Miko and Sarah run the page. And yeah, they're great. We loved them last year. They gave us great story. They embraced the process, which we, of course, appreciated.
All right, well, let's talk about the idea for Cincinnati's top content creators, your methodology, a little bit about how this kind of caught fire.
Yeah. So, again, a little bit of a humble brag, but not 2024, I made Forbes Under 30 Cincinnati list, and I kind of watched the process and how they did their Forbes Under 30 list, and I decided I wanted to do something cool like that with Enquirer. I talked about it with my team, and then we decided to land on content creators just because we're in charge of the TikTok here. We're all very social media savvy, so we launched it last year, took nominations on the site last year, and then narrowed the nominations down to top 50. After the top 50 was released, we held a vote, public vote, and panel decided the top eight, which was really fun. We did stories and threw a party for them. This year, we opened the nominations on social media, though, and it's like gone crazy on social media.
How many did you have?
5,000 on our site, but I mean, probably like 2,000 or 3,000 comments on each social media post. I think the TikTok had like 70,000 views. A lot of people trying to plug their favorites, which we really appreciate. It was very hard to go through every comment though. That was a very tough few days for me,
but
I got through it.
Did you use AI?
I did not use AI.
Copilot, please make sense of all of these comments. Back to the Forbes list that you were on. That was what my boss would call BFD. I mean, Joe Burrow was on that list as well, right?
Yes, Ellie De La Cruz, Jamar Chase. Yeah. They didn't come to the conference,
David,
unfortunately.
Yes.
I think I was very last on the bottom because alphabetical order, but I still made it.
That's good. Well, congrats on that again.
Thank you.
And so that was, so that gave you the idea that, you know, these kind of like, selection efforts that, you know, introduce. I think what was really cool about this is the eight winners last year, the eight final honorees, all had substantial followings. That's partly why I'm sure you selected them. But I think we exposed them to a wider audience.
Yeah.
Now, it's just looking at the numbers of one in particular, friend of the show, Hilarious Scales.
Yes.
I think he went from less than 100,000 on TikTok to what, close to 400,000?
Yeah, something like that. I'm going to take credit for him blowing up on Instagram. Because when Casey and I interviewed him last year, I think he had like 2,000 followers on Instagram, barely posts on Instagram. We had a discussion about, okay, why aren't you as big on Instagram? And then he just like ramped it up and took all the way off. So I'm going to take credit for that for sure.
Yeah. There was a one point I was like, is this actually your Instagram? Because I had like hardly any followers really at the beginning.
Yeah. And he had a couple accounts. Like I feel like he tried to make a different account. They didn't work out, but then, yeah.
Well, one of the things that I observed this year, because I got caught up in this a little bit, is now that we've done it and we're doing it again, there are content creators that are lobbying hard, to be on this list.
Posting their own videos, apparently a radio appearance.
Well, yes. one of the content creators also happens to do a spot on WLW, and I heard it promoted there. I've received emails, text messages.
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
And, you know, I can be bought. All of you out there. No. I have the highest of journalists. Ethics. I cannot be bought.
People did accuse us of that last year, and I had to go in the comments be like, nobody paid for this position. I promise. This was an actual, like,
a voting thing.
Yeah,
a voting
and and the panel helped select it too. Yeah. We tried to keep all our integrity while putting this together.
Well, I mean, it was super informative. Like I said, I think it introduced some of these content creators to a wider audience. There were a few that I hadn't really stumbled across.
Can I say this year, now that it's open on social media, there's so many more. I had no clue.
I feel the same
here.
Way. Like, there's a lot.
Some with like some big followings, like much bigger than some of the ones we had last year. No shade to any of our top 50 last year, but
now it's getting serious.
It's grown a
lot.
Which is crazy because it's only been a year.
Yeah. Multiple people with multi-million followers, which is insane because I just had no idea who they were until now. I know all about them.
All right. Well, I think we set that up perfectly, David. I think now we should talk to a couple of those content creators.
Yeah.
Yes.
The creative forces behind Cincy Scoops when we get into our guest segment. All right, special guest time on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. As promised, we have the folks behind Cincy Scoop. That would be Sarah and Mitko Karashovsky. Congratulations on being named last year one of Cincinnati's top content creators by us. And welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
I like to say they're one of my favorites because I wrote a story about them, so I kind of like have some favoritism.
Well, that's there's no shame in that. well, David, why were they your favorite?
I mean, they're just so nice and inviting and very kind, and just because I was assigned their story, I had to like dig deep into them. So,
all right.
Wait, how deep did you dig into us? Now I'm a little concerned about
what did you find?
There's a lot of Google evidence over there. Yeah,
I won't say it on the podcast.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll leave it on afterwards. Perfect.
So, as I've said before on this podcast, I'm a sucker for the origin story. When I was a little kid reading comic books, those are my favorite episodes. Like, how does Spider-Man become Spider-Man? So I have to ask, what is the origin story of Cincy Scoops?
So Mikko and I actually traveled internationally for 7 years between, I think, 2016 and 2023. I don't know if that math works out, but somewhere around 7 years, and saw a lot of places. And in our last few years of traveling, I don't think we quite knew we were done yet. And we kept having these like visions of going back to Cincinnati. And we were living in Mexico at the time, and we had made the decision to move back. And we started looking up, like, what's happening in Cincinnati. We knew that there were cool things happening here. And we kept seeing all these articles of, you know, shootings and burglaries and all these, like, kind of clickbait negative news. And we knew that there were good things happening as well. So we really wanted to create a space of just good things happening in the city and, like, the changes and the growth and all the cool people that were doing these things. So we started writing a newsletter. It went to about 40 people for the first year. We were writing it every single week and putting hours and hours in every single week. And then when we did end up moving back to Cincinnati a few months later, we started posting on Instagram since we were here, and it just took off and became this really beautiful thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was almost like really fun actually starting a newsletter while we're still living in Cincinnati, and we had to almost like onboard ourselves back into the city. And then moving back like 8 months afterwards, we were like knew all the restaurants, like all that kind of stuff. But it was a lot of fun to kind of get that started. And I have a background in newsletter, so I'd run digital newsletters in the past. Sarah has done so much work with like Instagram creators. It was almost this like perfect marriage of I was running the newsletter in the beginning and Sarah was doing Instagram. And then once we moved back and Instagram popped, and then that helped the newsletter grow, and that's the origin story.
So as you were learning, like reintroducing yourself to Cincinnati, you took everyone else on that journey with you. Is that a good way to, like, coming in with fresh eyes?
Yeah, I think we had a very nice experience of, like, I grew up in Cincinnati. When I moved here when I was 10, I grew up here. So I kind of got to see Cincinnati go from, sorry, but kind of like a lame Midwestern city to like the vibrancy and the culture that we have now and like really all the awesome things that are going on. And I got really passionate about it. And whenever we would travel, I'll tell people like, have you been to Cincinnati? No. Oh, you should definitely go. Right. And kind of introduce them to that. So we would come back here about once a year to visit my parents. And we kind of saw these like glimpses of what was happening. And so we did have that to grab onto and then kind of like go deeper into that story and follow up with people and like, okay, what are they doing now? And oh, great. They've moved on to this project. Great. Let's double click on that and see what was going on. So.
Yeah. Burl, you grew up here and then moved and then came back. Would you say it went from lame to vibrant? At any point?
I would say that's very accurate, right? I mean, in the 80s, when I was growing up, no one really came downtown. Mm-hmm. I worked downtown at the Enquirer my first time around, and I was still living on campus at UC because I was just graduating. And if you drove from downtown up to Clifton, up Vine Street, you had to lock your doors. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Like, for your own safety and not to get harassed by, you know, whoever was trying to solicit whatever, you locked your doors and hoped you weren't at a red light for very long. And yeah. Now to see all the reinvestment in town, I do have this like one-liner joke when people would, I was gone 12 years. And when I came back in 2018, people would ask me, what's the biggest change? And, you know, they're expecting me to talk about like OTR or Vine Street or whatever. And I would say, you know, the biggest change is that Grater's mint chocolate chip ice cream isn't green anymore. Like, what?
I don't think I ever experienced it being green. I don't think
I did. You're just flexing your youth on me.
that was my goal.
Well, what about you guys? When you came back, besides just the, you know, the broad changes that had occurred, were there any moments you were like, wow, that's different, especially for you since you grew up here?
Yeah.
I think the pocket grew. That was the really fun thing to see is, you know, even when we were in college, I'd come down to OTR and it was like Vine Street, right? And that was kind of it. Maybe it went a little bit past that, but really now starting to see this like very intentional strategic growth of, okay, we've got these pockets now and they're starting to like, we're starting to connect them. And, you know, there's so much stuff happening over in Northern Kentucky as well. And kind of seeing like that rising tide lifting all boats, I think has been what's really exciting is there's definitely this fear of like, okay, great. What's happening in OTR is happening in OTR. Is it just going to stay here? And kind of seeing that grow beyond that, but even to like what's going on in Oakley and Hyde Park. And I love the east side, like down where Daylily is and kind of all the stuff that they're doing. So kind of seeing the pockets grow, but still retain what makes them different and what makes them unique has just been like really awesome to see. So, sure.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I didn't grow up here. So I was here for a little bit before we came back. But yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's a lot of cool pockets growing. Yeah.
Yeah, for for me as the trending news editor, you know, covering everything that's going on in town, the most rewarding part of my job is just learning so much about the city I'm living in that I'm raising my kids in. What would you guys say is the most rewarding part for you? Just learning about all the nooks and crannies of the city and all the cool things going on. I guess what is just most rewarding for you?
I would say just like, and I'm not sure if this answers your question, but just like encouraging people to be proud of their city. Mm-hmm, yeah. And just like, it's so, we talk about this all the time. It's so easy to look at Cincinnati and be like, the weather's cold, it's gray, it's not New York, it's not Chicago, it's not whatever. And just kind of being a voice to help people champion the city has been very rewarding. Because if you go in it with those eyes of like, Cincinnati is cool, there's a lot of things happening, there's beautiful architecture, there's people trying to do things and having fun with the city. If you teach people to go in with that mindset, it's kind of like, you know, have you heard of like lucky girl syndrome? Mm-hmm. When they're like, I'm so lucky, like good things happen to me, and you go in with that mindset and you start noticing little great things. I think that's a really cool and rewarding part of what we do, is just encouraging people to think like that and be like, Cincinnati's cool. It's fun. It's, you know, we're trying. And I think that's really rewarding.
Yeah, I would also say, like, I think one thing that Sarah and I very intentionally have tried to do is, like, we're not the experts, right? Like, we're kind of, we don't know everything. There's tons of people who know way more than we do. And I think one thing that's been really rewarding has been actually connecting the dots and kind of helping, like, we're really big community people. Having traveled for 7 years, one of the things that we did was if we moved cities every 3 months, like, we had to come up with, like, a whole new friend group in 3 months. And so I think, like, kind of bringing that here and, like, doing the events that we do and helping people get to know each other has been really, really rewarding. I think also one thing that makes Cincinnati really unique is, I don't know if you guys know Rico Grant. He owns, like, a bunch of venues in town. But one of the things that he said that I really liked was that the reason why he stays here versus going somewhere else, like a Brooklyn or wherever, is that the cake is already baked there. What makes Cincinnati special is the fact that, like, we're actively baking the cake and we have a say in, like, what's happening, and we can have influence and, you know, kind of, like, help design this thing. And I think having even, like, 1% impact on that or being a little bit involved in that conversation has been really, really, like, awesome for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
We had Rico on the podcast just before he was ready to open the club he named after me, Club Love.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go in, my picture's on the wall. And, no, not really.
You haven't signed the picture.
Right. And, you know, we talked about how Cincinnatians, especially if you grew up here, it's almost like a thing we do is to be self-deprecating, like, oh, there's nothing to do here, can't wait to leave. But yet, even people who leave boomerang back, especially when they, you know, want to buy a house or thinking about raising a family. And I gotta say that the city does show nicely lately. I've had out-of-town guests that haven't been here before, and the variety, like, you know, driving them around, like taking them for a slice of Wayfarer's pizza in Dayton, Kentucky, and seeing those old neighborhoods, and then driving by the Party Source and going, oh my gosh, is that a distillery? I thought they had to go to Louisville to get bourbon or whatever. And then, you know, the obvious things, you know, the pro sports and the arts community, but just the smaller things that are happening too. That's what I like. You guys kind of dig in to the not so obvious things.
Yeah.
How I want to get touch back or go back and touch a little bit on your traveling. Like, what was going on in your lives where you were traveling for 7 years? Was that something you wanted to see the world? You know,
So
were you on the FBI's most wanted list?
Not that I know.
So we, I was actually, when we decided to start traveling, I was working interning at the Reds. I had interned for there a couple of years, and that was my career track was in baseball, and I was very excited about that. And then Mitko came home one day. I don't know if you listened to a podcast or if you, I think you were already kind of immersed in this world, but he was like, hey, we can, like, get digital marketing jobs online and travel and just, like, work from our computers. And I'm like, that sounds like a scam. Like, this is in 2016. So this is, like, back in the day. And, we ended up doing it, I think, to my parents' initial disappointment.
And mom is in the studio.
Mom is in the studio and she's listening
Making
to
sure
us.
Making sure you don't do anything else.
Exactly. So, like, Mikko is born and raised in Bulgaria. And so we went to Bulgaria. I think I was making, like, $400 a month. And I'm like, Mom and Dad, I'm moving to Bulgaria with this boy. And they're like, you know, they've always been very supportive, but they're also like, what are you doing? And then when I went home, I was able to go home for like 2 weeks at some point and just stay at home. And I didn't have to take time off work and I could work from my computer. And my mom was like, my daughter can work from anywhere in the world. The world is her laptop. And
and like you said, this is 2016 when you started. So this is pre-pandemic, pre, you know, ubiquitous Zoom or Teams.
Yeah.
You were making it work before it was a thing.
Yeah. So we lived in Bulgaria, Budapest, Asia, Mexico. We kind of went where we wanted to go and where we had people. And we had a really great time.
Yeah, and I think, like, what's been really fun about that was kind of seeing the way that different cities do different things and then be able to come back here and say, like, hey, you remember that one thing that we saw in Budapest? I think that would play really well in Cincinnati. Why don't we try, you know, like, kind of having that, like, having tasted a bunch of different cities and kind of seeing, like, what they do well and, you know, we'll come back and we'll always have these like crazy ideas of like, oh my gosh, what if we open like this thing, right? And it's just kind of fun to play around with that. So
absolutely. Yeah.
So Sarah, you do this full time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know Mitko does not, but I'm sure a lot of people wonder, what is it like working with your spouse? I think some couples can do it, some cannot. So you have to have the right dynamic, the right relationship. So I guess what are some pros and cons, hard things and easy things?
I think one thing that has helped us a lot is that going back to the whole aspect of like traveling full time, that is like a part-time job. Like you're thinking about airplanes and how are we getting from the airport to the Airbnb and
finding
the Airbnbs, grocery stores.
Like
there's all of these things that come. It sounds so like romantic and it's a ton of fun. Don't get me wrong. But like there's like this whole other part of it that is forces you to have really good communication. And also when you're thrust into like a culture that you don't know, it will just really stress test you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that is one thing that has helped in us running a business, is that it's like, we know how to communicate. We know when one person get like what stresses one person out versus the other. So I think that has like interestingly really helped with this.
We have very different personalities. Like I'm a true creative ADHD. Like when I want to work and I have something that I'm passionate about, I will like go into the zone and just, you know, be immersed in it. But then if it's something boring, like invoicing, I'm just like, get away from me. And Mitko has
you can't be bothered with the details.
No. And Mitko has a very operational mind. You're still very creative, but you have a very like operational mind. So we kind of yin and yang that way. I will say a struggle is we're always talking about Cincy Scoop. And it's not out of work. We're just excited. And sometimes I'll try to put a boundary of like, okay, no more talking about Cincy Scoop tonight. And then I'm like, oh, I just got a really good idea. So it's not a bad thing necessarily. Like it's a great thing that connects us and we love to talk about it, but it does like, we do have to kind of put some boundaries in place, but I'm usually the one to set the boundary and then be like, but I have a really good idea and I need to tell you, I need to talk about it.
Sarah's the queen of, okay, we're doing a dinner, no Cincy Scoop talk, 35 minutes into dinner. Have you ever thought about how we can do this with Cincy Scoop? And then like, we have to like, it's one of those like conscious things that, cause I'll bite the hook and I get excited and we're like, okay, wait.
And then I'll get mad at him. Later, like, and then I'll get mad at him. Like, we're not talking about Cincy Scoop. So
So a lot of people are in the space that you are in. Mm-hmm. What do you attribute your success to in terms of this is, you know, you're making a go at this. This is a viable business. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it contributes to your livelihood. What do you have to do to get to that level without sharing too many secrets?
No,
right?
We really have no secrets. Like we want to talk about this. I would say a couple things is like, number one, having, again, like coming back into Cincinnati as a new resident of Cincinnati. Like I know we talked about this earlier, but like, you live here, you're in the weeds, you see the same things every day. You're kind of here, and we got to come back and like view it with fresh eyes, which I think was really helpful. And like, I don't know, like the museum, like it's there. It's always, everyone's probably been on a field trip there, but just kind of going at it with fresh eyes and being like, oh, like go do this. So I think that was helpful. I think our previous marketing experience definitely was wildly helpful.
Yeah, I think Sarah's incredibly humble. And so I have to kind of like, a lot of the success of Cincy Scoop is because of Sarah, because Sarah has this incredible marketing experience, specifically with Instagram, where she's worked with some of the biggest brands in the world in terms of Instagram consulting. And so there's that aspect of it where like, there's a reason why like our sixth Instagram post went viral. And it's because, you know, Sarah had that experience of being able to see what works behind the scenes of really big creators and then being able to kind of like apply it and learn from that here. I also think like another aspect of it is like where I think like it's really romantic to be a creator, quote unquote, and do that work, but the money doesn't just appear. Like it is a business and you do have to have like, you know, like the boring invoicing things are things that have to happen and like negotiating contracts. And we invested quite a bit of money to work at the time for us in terms of like how much money we made from Cincy Scoop. We invested quite a bit of money to work with someone who actually works with a lot of creators and brands around how to structure, pitch, you know, yeah, partnerships and pitch and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And that really helped us kind of like make it real. And mm-hmm. we do hear that from some of the brands that we work with where they're like, oh, wow, like working with you guys, like you take it very seriously. We send them dashboards. We, mm-hmm. you know, like there is a lot of that behind the scenes that is boring, but that allows us to kind of actually, yeah, you know, make it into a business.
And one more thing, sorry, I just remembered. We almost never post just to post. Like there's no, like we have an idea of like how many Instagram posts we want to get out per week. But like, if I don't have something good to say, I'm not going to say it kind of a thing. Like I don't believe in this like algorithm.
Post every day.
Yeah. Like it just, it's like, I don't know. At some point what I'm saying is going to get boring. Like, so I'm very passionate about that. Like this algorithm. And if you don't post, it's going to like hurt you. And like, it's just, I think if you post what people want to see, then it'll get out there. So. Yeah.
Which I think is interesting because it's a wildly different concept and strategy than some of our other creators. Even some of our creators last year, a lot of them post 1, 2, 3 times a day. So just
that sounds exhausting like that. And I know that is a strategy for people, but just, and I'm not saying that's wrong. Like if that works for you, like you got to do whatever you got to do. But that, yeah, that I don't think I would be able to do that.
I think there's just like different strategies, right? Yeah. Like there is like doing a lot of different things and then like something will hit, right? And then like learning from that. There's also like, we spend a lot of time thinking about our posts and analyzing them and going like, okay, what is the hook here? Like, how do we pull someone in? What is the context? Mm-hmm. How quickly are we moving? Is this, who is this for? Is it answering the question? Is it creating a loop? Like, how are we, there's a lot of times that we like, you know, we'll spend like hours thinking about some posts or even more time just around like, what is the strategy here?
But so then you have like Kendra, for example, who was in our class last year, who will kill it just getting on the camera and like she's on mm-hmm. FaceTime. So it's like, mm-hmm. it's just, you can't like take
whatever
someone's,
is organic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that like person. That works and people want that from her and that like, she's so good at that. So it's just so, it's so different. And we talked about that. Like I told her I spend hours editing a video and she just throws it up because that's what people want from her and that's her lane. And she's so good at, you know, like naturally just being on FaceTime with her friends.
So authenticity is key.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Like 100%. you can't like listen to these Instagram gurus and being like, oh, that's what I need to do. Because like, is that what your people want? And yeah.
I think also what's different with us is that we do have the newsletter. Mm. And so that is like a way where, you know, people will see our Instagram posts and then we'll usually take them off of Instagram and like they'll subscribe to our newsletter. And then that's where we can kind of like build that community. Cause we have almost 12,000 people on our newsletter mm-hmm. with very high open rates and engagement. So like that is the community that's kind of like building off of Instagram that I think has also like really helped us. Mm-hmm. Cause those are the people that come to the events like every mm-hmm. single time. They're the ones that, you know, comment on everything on Instagram as well. So having that has been really helpful.
Yeah, I think I heard a creator put it as get people to land that you own. You don't own yeah. Instagram. Yes. That could yeah. shut down at any moment. So getting yeah. people to something that you can actually like own and have for yourself, like a newsletter.
Yes. Yeah.
Important.
Sure. I think not enough creators. And also like we've had this discussion with brands as well, where it's like, well, you know, like having a reel is like really sexy and that's like what a lot of brands want. But like, I can tell you how many links are getting clicked or, you know, how many people are clicking on your link in the emails. Mm-hmm. And like that is also like really, really valuable real estate, so to say. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Newsletters, and you guys have your like, we'll call it brick and mortar. You have like a website, which a lot of content creators don't have newsletters, don't have websites. They're mm-hmm. relying completely on a social channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So
we also have like a big thing has also been like having our own products. So like our Cincy Battles have been like a vertical that we've developed with a partner because like we didn't want it to just be advertising. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, running those and now we're going to do one every month this year. So that's been like really exciting, like bringing that. So it's just like we'll go down the rabbit hole and like, we like to play and swing the bat and try different things.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys get recognized in public? Like you're at Kroger and someone says, why do I know you?
Sometimes it definitely happens. Like it. Yeah.
You're not as much on camera yes. as some other mm-hmm. creators.
Yeah. And that's like, so yes, to answer your question, but not like all the time. And I think that's kind of a goal of ours is to not be like, we don't want the content to be about us, but we also want people to know that there are two humans behind this account and not some AI. Or like, you know, there are humans behind it. And so it does happen and it's It's fun. I always feel like I'm really awkward because it like always catches me up. Like we were in Party Source like a few weeks ago and some girl was like, Cincy Scoop. And I was like, I don't know what to say. And she was so sweet. I was like, I don't know what to say. But it's really nice. Like it's been very cool, but yeah.
That's the second Party Source mention in this podcast. Really? We need to send them an invoice.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
For
we
sure.
Love Party Source.
So I'm curious on the opposite side of it. Obviously I ran the Top Content Creators campaign the past 2 years. What was it like for you guys to kind of be recognized for all this hard work that you've been putting into it for years, last year?
I would say one of the biggest things was like we've put truly like our hearts and souls into this business, and like we do get some nice words from people, and like we do get it does feel very fulfilling, but to get recognized by like a legacy media brand is like
it's a dinosaur.
It's amazing. Like that was, I think it just gave us a little bit more, I don't know what the word is.
There's like
I'm struggling for words.
There's a level of like validation. Credibility. Yeah. And there was like, when we went back up to Detroit to visit family, like we had family in Detroit that was like, oh, like we heard you guys were in the newspaper. You know what I mean? It was like we'll That's have funny. Like a video, get like a million views, you right, know, yeah. but like, and
but like the physical newspaper was so cool. Like we went and bought like 6 copies of them. My mom, dad got one.
Can
and
I
like,
say, I've I think never, we still have some. That yeah. day that paper went out, I've never seen so many people like post with the cover of the paper on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was cool. It was interesting in that way too. Cause I was like, oh man, I wonder if I should like get a real life newspaper delivered. It was such a like, it was a very cool.
You're warming my heart.
I know. It was just a very cool like return back to that. So it was just all a very cool experience. And I remember, yeah, it was just very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very in line with, you know, I'll talk to PR people and if they're pushing a story and we've published it online, their next question is, well, is it going to be in the paper? Like it's a sort of a validation thing still, you know, even though it's, like, I'll get up in front of groups and say, look, it is, like, not the most efficient way to get news and information anymore. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people like it, and it does have that sort of, you know, it makes things official, right? Yeah. You can't, once you print something, you can't take it down. It's out there, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just a different animal altogether.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, we don't, in this world of efficiency, sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to be efficient. I want to, you know, I still read physical books. I want, you know, so I think that's a really great point. It's like, I don't want efficiency all the time. So.
Well, before we wrap up, I have to ask you guys, like, what's next on the horizon? You both seem like you have no shortage of, you know, ideas coming forth. So
can we say Mitko has something really cool going on that Sydney has written about?
Okay. Well, let's talk
so
about
if
that.
He wants to talk about Spark House a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the really fun things has been getting involved in the community. And one of the opportunities that I had was to go and join a really awesome team at Blue North across the river and lead Spark House, which is our new entrepreneurial hub over there. So it's right across the river, but it's been so like I dropped out of college and got involved in startups. And so kind of coming back to Cincinnati and getting to dive in, you know, head first into the startup community and helping develop that has been awesome. But it's a 50,000 square foot entrepreneurial hub in Covington. It's the old Sims furniture building that we've converted into what's now the largest entrepreneur hub in the region. So that's been really fun. And, you know, it probably wouldn't have happened if Cincy Scoop wasn't around, because Dave Knox, our executive director, that's how I met him, was we started meeting to talk about Cincy Scoop and, you know, what we're doing over there. And we started kind of meeting on like a regular basis. And then when the job application went up, I was like, I turned to Sarah and I was like, I feel like I'm weirdly potentially qualified to do this. And so, yeah, I mean, that probably wouldn't have happened if we didn't have Cincy Scoop.
Yeah.
All right.
So what's next on the horizon?
We've got a lot of ideas.
There's like too many. Like I feel like a lot of times, one of the biggest lessons I learned, because like I'm not an entrepreneurial person. I've had a job for the last, forever. I don't know, since I left school. But like the biggest lesson I'm learning is like, for us, there's no shortage of ideas, and it's just narrowing and like focusing in on nailing something. It's like, what do you say no to is the more important question, because there's too many things that we want to do. Like There's just too many things. So I would say Cincy Battles is our big focus for us this year. That's
and
our
describe that battles. For the uninitiated.
Yeah. So that is a monthly category battle that we do. We'll get coffee shops. There's a different category each month. Coffee shops, breweries, ice cream parlors, pizza parlors. And each month you can buy a digital pass. And however many, I always butcher this explanation, but however many businesses that decide to join, you get one free item from each of those businesses. And the cool thing is, like, we don't charge businesses to participate in this. They just provide the item that everyone gets, and we're able to track for those businesses how much new business they're getting for that are coming in for that month, and then how much additional profit they make each month. So it's a really long story short-ish.
It's like marketing services disguised as a
But also like you like, you know, we're doing coffee in February, and you'll get, if you pay $25 for this pass, you get 16 coffees from different coffee shops around Cincinnati. So it's a really great thing that we've been working on.
And we have like an app that you essentially get your pass on. So you have a map where you can like track which coffee shops you've gone to, like what review you've left on it, like all that kind of stuff. And it's almost serves as like a really great like discovery tool. We had a ton of people who did it that it was an excuse for them to get out of like what their place that they go to every time is and go and discover new ones. Mm-hmm. We've had businesses say like, oh my gosh, like it was, we had one business. This is like the thing that really blows my mind, because you do these things and a lot of times you don't know what the result or the effect of it will be. One of the coffee shops that participated last year told us that was their best month of business ever. Mm-hmm. And like, those are the things that like, you know, we got that email and I was like, I think this is fake. Like, this is not real, you know? And so just kind of like doing that has been really fun.
You know, just because you have a passion for coffee doesn't mean you know how to market yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like, you know, there's so many ways to do it, but you guys have kind of come up with this really interesting way to pair what you do and your expertise before you did Cincy Scoops and sort of. So like in terms of the horizon, do you feel like you're too busy, you can't even think of the next step, or can you scale what you do?
Let's say there is a next step that we're planning, but we're not ready to talk about it. But like in the summer, hopefully we'll have some things coming up.
Yeah. All right.
That was so ominous.
Our listeners are now on the edge of their seats.
I'm on the edge of my seat. I don't even know what's going on. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Your mother just like passed out behind us. She's like, no, what's going on? All right.
Very mysterious.
I know.
I do want to say before we sign off, just because I don't want to let the opportunity go by, we have two people on this podcast who celebrated birthdays this past weekend. You and Sarah.
What day?
Well, mine was Friday.
Oh, Saturday.
The 9th. Okay.
Saturday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Wow.
I don't think we're the same age. But
Who knows?
Thanks for pointing that out, man. I'm trying to get over.
Hey, I did not point out your age at all.
You didn't need to point that out. There's no video.
There we go. Well, Sarah, Miko, thank you so much for spending time with us on the podcast today. Congratulations again on being in the inaugural class of the Dave Weissong.
You don't need to put mine there.
Cincinnati Inquirer top content creators list. And like David said earlier, there are so many people vying for being on this year's list, but you guys can sit back and kind of like
vote for your favorites.
Yeah, we have already. Yeah. And thank you so much for you, David, for and Casey, for putting this together. It was a really great experience, and you built something very special in Cincinnati that will keep going. So
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Feels good to be like validation. Like feels good to have some validation.
Endorsed by Cincy Scoops.
Yeah, stamp of approval.
All right. Well, thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was cool. Are all the content creators that you work with that nice?
No comment. No, we have some great ones. Last year, there were some very nice ones, but I think they take the cake for some of the nice ones, for sure.
I think so, too. And what about that love for traditional legacy media?
Yes.
We still matter, David.
Yes, I know.
We still matter.
Can you believe it?
All right. I can't. No, I can't believe it. So before we end the podcast, you know, you are, as I said, a content creator in your own right.
I guess if you want to call me
and
that.
And now you're a nationally recognized content creator because People Magazine yes. did an exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of burned me a little bit. Like, wait a minute. Exclusive. They did an exclusive story about you and your wife and what you're doing with your newborn daughter.
Yes.
Diana.
Yes. Diana Jane. Yeah, so this is our third kid, and I like to put it out there, this is our last kid. But with our first two, we did some monthly photos, just put them in TV shows of, put them in onesies of our favorite TV shows. We wanted to do something, because they were both boys, we wanted to do something a little different with our first girl, and we named her after my mother-in-law and my mom, Diane and Anna, Diana. So we decided to recreate iconic Princess Diana outfits, which has been really fun. I didn't expect it to go off. It was just supposed to be something fun for us, especially, and I like creating videos, so I put it out there, but went crazy on Threads. Like, I had like 200 followers on Threads, and now I have a couple thousand of people just following me just to like see how the series goes.
I'm kicking myself because, you know, I saw the post on social media and I thought, oh, that's cute, but I should have had my editor's hat on because we should have broken that story, not People Magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
We got scooped by People Magazine.
I didn't want my reporters to write about me.
You're a humble guy. So I signed the story, and now Cincinnatians,
yes.
if they're not subscribers to People or people.com, they know about these amazing photo shoots, you know, recalling these, like you said, iconic moments, the Philadelphia Eagles jacket.
Yes, that was my pick. My wife has gone hard into picking all the outfits. That one specifically was mine. I'm not an Eagles fan. It was just such an iconic
jacket.
Well,
you have like establish this perfect Venn diagram of like what people are into, because you have like all the people fascinated with Diana and the royal family. Then you have people that are fascinated with newborn pictures and then like fashion.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
I mean, like, so, well, hats off to you. Now, your wife came up with that idea, right? Couldn't have been you.
She definitely came up with it, but she wasn't going to do it. But as soon as she said it, I was like, oh, yeah, we got to do this. My like social media hat came on. The photos came like all just right. The thought of all the photos. Yeah, I knew.
So everybody
to do
needs
it.
To check that out. You can go to cincinnati.com.
Yes, read our story, and then yes. you can go to the people.
And then
story.
You can go to
yes.
people. We did link to the people story, right?
I hope so. I didn't edit it.
That helps with SEO. You know,
I would hope so. I trust Rasputin who edited the story. I all trust right. that he did it. Yes.
All right. Well, should we wrap things up?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of The Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. Our producer today was Sam Green.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, give us a rating, and share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
Finally, if you value local journalism, and I know you do, and haven't subscribed for full digital access to Cincinnati.com, now is a great time. Just go to Cincinnati.com. Click on the subscribe button to see a special offer for new subscribers.
Thanks again, and see you next week.